Welcome to For Manaless Women. I'm your host, Adele Onyango, and this is a space that is committed to nurturing a new generation of shame-free women who are ready to meet their best selves. In this episode, we're going to rethink our fitness and rethink our food. Helping us do this is certified fitness coach and nutritionist, Coach Roseanne. So first, thank you so much for coming on our show. I feel like I hijacked you. We were at an event and I was listening to you talk and I was just like, she needs to come on the show like now, you know? I loved how you spoke about the gut, about fitness, but also like mindset and changing how we view certain things as women. So thank you for allowing me to hijack you.
No, thank you. Honestly, it's such an honor. I've told you this story and I'm going to share it again.
Yeah.
I watched you online and I recognized, I was seated with some of my friends and we're just having conversations. And in the background, YouTube was going on.
Yeah.
And as it was going on, we heard a voice that was challenging the president of France. And it was almost like all of us, we just turned around to look to see who is this voice. And instantly, I was so drawn to you.
Yeah.
So meeting you at the event, it was such an honor.
Yes.
And thank you for having me over because I truly love your work.
Yeah,
and I love how you think mostly.
Yes.
So even when you call this mannerless.
Yeah.
Should I celebrate that? It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm truly honored to be here and thank you for having me. And I can't wait for us to have this conversation.
Yeah. I think we can start off with something that I think is an incredible mind shift.
Okay.
When I read just like one statement of what you do, you said, I help women lose weight in a way that is not painful or
restrictive.
Yes. And I thought, oh my goodness, what do I think about when I think about diets? I think restrictions.
Ooh.
I think pain.
Mm.
I think discomfort.
Yes.
I think it's not comfortable. I feel like I'm caged for a while.
Mm.
How can a diet not be this thing that I'm thinking about?
How can it not be?
Yeah.
How can it not be when you've been conditioned by the world?
Mm.
How can it not be painful, restrictive when always that's been pushed in the media over the decades has been thin women eating a certain way, restricting yourself, and they post and they show you to look this way, to lose 10 kilos in 10 weeks, you would need to eat a certain amount of a certain way or eat this amount of food.
Yeah.
And I tried those things.
Yeah.
I tried to follow. Okay, I wanted to look that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be real.
It's your condition.
Let's just be real.
And if you see it every day,
something makes you think this is how it should be.
Yeah.
And I lived in the States and I remember thinking, I do not have that kind of a body that is stick thin.
Mm.
I have hips. I have thighs.
Yeah.
I know I cannot look that way. And it took me a minute to change my perspective, say, how can I look the best that I can for who I am and the body that I have?
Mm.
But that conditioning is what, for me, going through that journey, trying to count food, trying to measure my foods, because I hired coaches to help me lose my weight.
Yeah.
Because I was medically obese at 29 years old.
Mm.
I had high cholesterol at 29 years old. I was given 3 months to lose weight by my doctor. And 3 months, I needed to figure what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And so quickly, my thought was, okay, I need to find someone to help me.
Yeah.
And so the first person tells me, count your calories. I was like, okay, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I have my daughter that time.
Yeah.
The second coach was like, okay, how about I'll count the calories for you, but follow this very specific meal plan. Girl, that's the first time I heard about cottage cheese. I was like, what is cottage cheese?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know. So this is many years ago, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
Then someone else was like, how about you measure your foods?
Mm.
So I tried those things. I literally went to Walmart. I got a scale. I put it on my kitchen table. I was supposed to take chicken breast.
Oh, yeah.
And measure.
And measure it.
And I could not even, that step, I could not even be able to do it because in my brain, I was already tired. I was already exhausted.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed. The thought of, okay, I know I want to lose weight, but is this really the way to go about it? And so coming from my own struggle and figuring how to do it, I then, the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, Adele, this is the one that really kills me. I cannot eat chapo.
Oh my God. And to that, I feel like the farther you are from Kenya, the stronger your love for chapo.
Please. And the stronger, seriously.
Yeah.
Like we wanted all Kenyan foods because you're so far away.
Yeah.
So even being told that, I was like, I mean, how am I going to live life? it wasn't making sense.
Yeah.
So when it comes, now I pieced all this together. It took a minute.
Yeah.
It didn't come overnight. So it was piecing together, coaching my clients as a new coach, taking them through almost a similar journey that I had gone through, but then realizing, oh, they're still gaining their weight back. They're still struggling. So over time, now my background is psychology.
Yeah.
So as part of me started asking some key questions. So the first one was 95% of women who go on a diet, no, 91% of women go on diets.
Okay.
91%. That's huge. Out of that 91%, 95% will gain the, lose the weight, but gain it all back.
So then there's something that's
there's
not
something
working.
That's not working.
Yeah.
So I started asking myself the question, so what's not working? And it's out of asking that question, I started understanding it's not just about the foods that we eat.
Mm.
We have to begin to deconstruct this, not just from what we are doing, but what's going on the inside. So the first thing I identified, the diet culture.
Yeah.
Second thing I identified, it was not individual. You and I were different heights.
Yes.
Different backgrounds.
Yeah.
But we're being told to eat the same
foods. And it
foods.
Can't work.
Can't work. So I was like, okay, that's not going to work. The third, okay, I was in America. So even the foods I was being pushed to eat were very Eurocentric.
Mm.
So eat a lot of salads, eat cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Like eat foods I hadn't grown up with. Oh, and then I'm also being told don't eat the foods I've grown up with.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not making sense. So I needed to figure something that would make me eat for my body type, my traditions, understand that even the women that I'm coaching come from different backgrounds, have different bodies, have different likes, have different cultural influences, spiritual influences.
I was actually going to say, your why for even dieting is different.
It's all different. Yeah. So I had to figure that out. And so for me, I landed on working on your mind, the mindset.
Mm.
And that mindset, really now we go down into identity, into beliefs, into your habits, into your skills, into your environment. We break it down into all these other different areas. And that's why I say nutrition is, oh, and this is the other thing, Adele, most people know what to do. Most people, especially if you've been on a diet, you know you're supposed to eat a balanced diet. You need to eat your carbohydrates, your protein, your fat. That's a balanced diet. But it's the application, the habit of it, and really getting to the root of why do you continue to struggle. And that's now the work, the inner work that we do with my women to help them understand it's not that you're not capable. It's not that you need to beat yourself down. It's you really need to come back on the inside and understand what's the root cause.
Yeah, because first I want to share. I want to hear from you before I share, rather. When did you realize the diet wasn't working in the way it was presented to you?
Oh, goodness. Just my own journey. So this was 20. So that was I was 29 years old. So it's 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that right? 29. Do the math. So it's 29. It truly was on my own journey. That's when I figured it's not working.
Mm.
But when it really landed that it's not working, as a new coach, trying to sort of, I'd figured something different, but I also realized my women, even though I gave them something that was sustainable, and all of them would say, this looks doable, this looks sustainable, they still struggled.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, what else is going on? It was now we had to do that. That's when I realized.
Yeah.
We gotta go inward.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
You're working like outside in, but you
now
need
we need
that
to go
inside
out.
Yeah.
That's when I realized.
Yeah.
And so I worked on that. I continued to get different certifications to really understand the human mind, human emotions, and the human body, because it's all connected. Because even before, it used to be separated.
Yeah.
Mind, body, there's no connection. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You see different people for different things. Yeah. And none influences the other, but that's a lie.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. It so influences everything in our emotions.
Yeah.
In fact, let's start. The food that you eat is food is information.
Yeah.
It's going to influence your gut one way or another.
Yeah.
What is in your gut? What's housed in your gut? You have all this like serotonin. That's your mood booster.
Yeah.
Whatever you eat in there will affect your hormones,
which
will affect the way you show up.
Yeah.
It's so interconnected. And that's why I tell folks, food is not just food.
Yeah.
Food is a love language.
Yeah.
You would need to understand that. But if you find yourself struggling, then we need to go inner to understand what's the cause of all this.
My issue used to be snacking.
Oh.
Oh my God. I feel like a Kendrick hated to see me coming, a KFC.
Oh, my goodness.
Any pack of crisps. I can even advise you on the best crisps.
Crisps that we should get.
These ones are very, hard. These ones are not, that's how dedicated I was to my snacks, right? And I remember listening to a doctor talking about it. Mm-hmm. And they said, when you're about to snack, ask yourself, why this and why now? And most of the times you'll find an emotional answer.
Usually.
And I really was like, oh my God, that's so true. Mm-hmm. Like I would soothe myself with a food, with a snack, right? If I felt there was nothing I was doing, I'd be like, let me just dab a pack of crisps.
Yes,
popcorn, you know? And it was completely linked, but a lot of inner work that I've been doing for completely unrelated issues. I think I just woke up one day and I'm like, why am I not snacking as much? Like, what's happening?
What's going on?
I'll go shopping and I'll pick fruits. And before, my house would never not have crisps. Like, this.
Exactly.
No way, right? So it's true what you're saying, like the inside, you have to work on the inside.
And what I'm hearing you say also, there's an emotional component of something that you are dealing with emotionally.
Yeah.
And you are using the crisps as a way to mask the pain that you are dealing with internally.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, if you find you're a grazer like you used to be, which is where you're reaching for all these snacks, the crisps, listen, you go to the store and you're standing there, you're like, I know these are too hard.
Yes.
We're keeping you. Or you even find the right crisps.
I even know the store that stocks the one.
The perfect
Do you know
one.
How bad it was? Let me tell you. There is a local crisp manufacturer. I even thought, should I just call his number so that I can just be buying directly
for me? Oh my goodness.
And I think at that point, then I was like, is this normal? Like,
Lisa, can I give you a quick story? Because
that
reminds me. So when I was overweight, remember I told you my doctor gave me 3 months. So when I went to see him, he was like, you're medically obese.
Yeah.
So one of the things I used to do before then, my husband is what we call a bean spender, and we are a free spender.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, because we're trying to save money, let me look for the producers of this thing so that I buy them in bulk.
Yes.
So there was a corn chowder that I loved.
Yeah.
This thing was made out of corn, butter, cream, bacon. I mean, the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But that thing clogged my arteries.
Yeah.
Okay. But I found the manufacturer. It was literally a mile from our house in Lower Massachusetts. I can't even tell you where it is.
And you rationalize it, right?
Listen, we're saving money. Okay. So I hear you. So I hear you on that. That is so interesting. Yes.
You know what's okay. So now we're doing the inside work. Mm. We go into our mindset, right? Because now we've established, even if you're dieting, etc., and your food habits, there's something that may be happening in the inside. What do you find are the common things that are linking, like with our food habits and our emotions?
So a couple of things. I've actually identified 4 personas.
Okay.
And by the way, they probably can share a link because I have a free quiz that I give folks.
Okay, yeah.
You know what it does?
Please.
It helps you identify your persona, which helps identify what's behind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we have the diet hoppers.
Okay.
So this is someone who has been just done diet after diet after diet. And so they hop from one. So they're doing, let's go to the next one. So we call them Helen the Hopper.
Okay.
And then we have the critic.
Okay.
This is the girl who has had a body, her body has changed over the years, whether it's through babies, your body having stretch marks.
Yeah.
And then she's also a perfectionist.
Mm.
So this one is, she judges herself. Mm. So the way she approaches even her food, it's that mindset of harshness. It's got to be perfection.
Mm.
She's judging herself. So we call her Judge Judy.
Helen the Hopper
and Judge Judy.
Okay.
Then we have the emotional girl.
Okay.
This is the one. This is
what I feel like. I was going to say, hey, that's me.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. So this one is the one who gets triggered by all emotions.
Yeah.
Good or bad. But her predisposition is whenever she's feeling any type of emotion.
Yeah.
It's so much in her body. Her nervous system cannot hack it.
Yeah.
Let's grab those crisps to help quiet what's going on the inside.
Damn.
But you start with, so you have 2 things that are happening. You don't deal with that emotional issue, but you've added another thing where you're dealing with it in the bad way.
Yeah.
So we call her Emotional Emily.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing, Vera? How you doing?
Okay.
And then we have the last persona, which is she's aware. She knows. She knows everything, just doesn't quite do what needs to get done to take care of them. So we call her Donkey Dolly. So out of that, this is now, and this was based on truly the women that we've been coaching over the years. And I was able to identify these are the main issues majority of us women struggle with.
Yeah.
So once you're able to identify, imagine I'm telling you, if you get this part, you really don't need to diet again. Because why? That's the inner work you will need to do. Mm. Once you do that inner work, you will have more capacity to be able now to apply the application, which is now with its food, literally live life in freedom.
Yeah.
Because what this has done over the years, it's clogged you up on the inside.
Yeah.
And you've, this persona is how you have been able to deal with the difficulties of life. And you use that through food. And that's how we've come up with that.
Isn't it crazy that all of these personas and how they're moving is based on emotions?
Based on emotions.
And manifesting in nutrition and like your food habits.
And your food habits. Yeah. And also, obviously, the diet culture. Remember, that's something that has happened for years and years. If you think about it, Adele, go back to our grandparents and even our forefathers. Yeah. Most of them did not struggle.
Yeah.
With lifestyle diseases.
Yeah.
Most of them were not overweight.
Yeah.
In fact, I was telling we had friends over the weekend and I was telling them, you know what's been so interesting? Now when I travel and I go to America, I know when I lived there, I didn't see it because it was normal.
Yeah.
But you know, America is the most obese nation in the world. But now when I go there, I look and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not normal.
Yeah.
But because they're trying and we're trying to help people in that sense, it then goes to the other extreme. What extreme does it go to? It's commercialized.
Yeah.
And when it's commercialized, we then start coming up with all these different programs and foods that we need to deal with to help this obese issue.
Yeah.
But we don't deal with the emotional issues themselves. So we've been told, oh, buy these bars.
Yeah.
Oh, buy these drinks. Oh, there's a new program that has
come up. It's a Band-Aid.
It's always a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
And that's why the problems continue to persist.
Yeah.
So if we dealt with the emotional, the underlying issues, and then what people, and I pray to God, people's eyes are open, they will realize it's not these foods that we buy in packets that everyone tells, you know, by the way, let me give you a quick tip.
Yeah.
If you ever go to buy food and you see the label is advertising gluten-free, okay, fine, it could be gluten-free and that's fine. Yeah. But it says protein, fiber, vitamins, etc. I want you to run away from that food. That's not what you buy, because what they've done is they've stripped off all the minerals and they've added synthetic. And you can get those things naturally. I'm not going to go and sell or patent spinach.
Yeah.
I can't patent millet.
Yeah.
I can't patent sorghum.
Yeah.
Yet these foods have healing properties. But I can patent a protein bar, which has spinach in there.
Yeah.
It has some millet in there.
Yeah.
It does not make any sense. So the problem becomes twofold. There's obesity in one end. We're trying to solve it in a different way. So the way people are solving it, instead of going to ancient wisdom, ancient foods that our parents ate, because in the middle, somebody got to make money.
Yeah.
Truly, that's what it is.
Of our health.
Yeah. Of our health.
And what's, we're so lucky because we live
in a
country where these foods are just more accessible, right?
Yeah.
And they're not so, I think even it's more normal to eat the spinach.
Yes.
I think I remember when grocery stores started having like pre-cut things or whatever, and like vegetables pre-cut and wrapped.
Yes.
I still remember thinking, this is strange. You're also like, you know, I don't have time to cook.
Well, at least they're doing that. Okay.
But that speaks to that what's normal for us is being able to get your fresh veggies, get your fresh fruit.
Yes.
But isn't there still a mindset that we have when we look at our cultural food?
There is a huge mindset, and I'm so glad you've talked about that, because in the urban centers specifically, and this is like majority of women that I work with who are mostly in the urban centers, they're running away from their cultural foods and they're running towards Western foods because Western foods, there's a perception that this is better.
Yeah.
If I can give you a quick story. Yeah. So I was coaching one of my aunt in 2020.
Yeah.
And as I was coaching her, so one of the things that I like to do is, again, that inner work, because she's like, I've tried all these diets. I'm like, truly ask her, so what should you eat? I know I should eat vegetables, I should eat some carbs, and I should eat protein. Mm-hmm. And I should have some fat in there.
So she knows.
She knows. Why are you not able to do that? And just as we continue, we unpacked this one thing that came up out of a couple of other issues. But one that came up was, as a young girl, she also grew up in Shark. She's my dad's sister. My guka was polygamous.
Yeah.
So she comes from the youngest wife.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's the one who used to wake up, cook for the family. So she would wake up, go to the shamba behind, yeah. you know, in the backyard, which is the most beautiful yeah. thing. She would grab like all the spinach, the whatever was needed, and she'd prepare breakfast yeah. for the family. And that's what she used to do on a regular basis. So this day during the school holiday, she goes to Nairobi to her brother's house. Now he's the oldest. He's our uncle, our oldest uncle. He's the one who had made it. And he's the one who used to help these other, the younger people, what to do in life, etc. Anyway, so she goes to Nairobi. He's a professor. And she's in his house. And she says when she woke up, she smelled something she had never smelled before. Mm. So she goes downstairs, goes into the kitchen, and she sees sausages. She sees bread.
Yes.
With jam. Mm. With butter. And that's what they had for breakfast. And as a young girl, she made the decision that's the life that I want. Because see, she's looking up to her uncle, her brother, who's my uncle. Yeah. She's looking up to her brother. She's looking up to her brother, and he's made it. Mm. Making it
look like
this.
Yeah, sausages, bacon.
Dad, yeah. Bread, yeah. jam, margarine. By the way, white bread, get rid of it. Margarine, yeah. especially margarine is yeah. one of the worst things. Jam, that's all sugar.
Yeah.
And she says, it was such an aha moment for herself.
Yeah.
Because she says, because the minute I left home, I never went back to those foods. Now, as I've coached some of my clients, not all, but there's some who still have a bad relationship with those foods, because to them, it's poor man's food. Mm. To them, it represents poverty. And to them, and I understand, you know, because not all of us grew up in a household where maybe we had everything. Mm. And for us, you know, our mind was like, we're not wealthy. These foods that we're eating represent poverty.
Yes. And we're eating them because we can't afford that other one. Other yeah.
So it's almost as if once we get out of poverty, once we shame those foods.
Yeah.
We do not want to be associated with those foods.
Yeah.
And that's when the disconnection starts.
Yeah.
Because we're now not only shaming ourselves, looking at foods that we've never grown up with, foods that are manufactured in the factories, foods that are not man-made. And these are the foods that have caused all these problems over the years. And so now my whole thing is, can we begin to change our relationship with our foods,
yeah.
with our gardens? Literally go back to the way our grandparents ate yes. and lived. Yes. It's so simple. But what we do now is we decolonize our mind.
Yeah.
And you accept. This is the other part. Because most of us are also in a state of denial.
Yeah.
We deny these foods. And we even deny that we are eating these foods because we don't like yes. this other food. So there's an element of denial.
Yeah. Because it's a hard truth to like accept. Sit with, right?
That's, yeah. That's so if you can accept you are wrong, because most of us don't want to be wrong, but if we can humble ourselves and be like, and you know, ego, drop yeah. that. Like truly, ego yeah. can trip most of us.
Yeah.
But just accept, okay, I had a wrong mindset and I'm willing to shift. Yeah. And when the shift, what I'm saying is, and with the shift, you don't have to make changes overnight.
Yeah.
You can still continue doing those foods once in a while. So if you did them maybe every day, can you do them 3 times in a week?
Yeah.
But then begin to incorporate. Yeah, exactly. Then over time, notice how your body feels.
And your body, what I've found,
yeah.
once you start giving it what it needs, knows it this
inherently.
It's almost like buzz. Now you're talking. it'll actually start craving
that those foods.
So you'll even find yourself letting go of the sausages very easily because your body is like, yeah, we've been waiting.
Hello, girl.
But I was also going to add, yes. even if you think about when we went to school, if during break time you brought out maybe yes. cookies or you brought out chebda or whatever packaged snacks and someone else brought out maybe sweet potato or whatever.
Yes.
Chances are the person who brought out the sweet potatoes would get bullied or be told, oh, you can't afford A, B, C, D. And it's you're right. It speaks to a decolonization that needs to happen, right? It
reminds me of a young kid that I coached once. When we moved back to Kenya in 2015. Mm. In 2017, I started coaching a young kid. He's a soccer kid. He's a soccer player. And his mom was like, this kid is so good in soccer, but he was obese. So I went and I talked to the kid and I asked him, what does he eat? And then it was the sausages, the whatnot. Yeah. That's the kind of food. And I told him, you know, it would be nice to start eating domang guashe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like an automatic no. Hell no. I ain't doing this. Yeah. I ain't eating this.
Yeah.
So I asked him, so who's your favorite soccer player?
Yeah.
Was it a soccer or basketball? Is it a soccer player? So he tells me his favorite soccer players. I go online and I Google, what does this guy eat?
Mm.
Yams. Yams are sweet. Yams are sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Yams and whatnot. And I go and I show him, this is what
this person is. Yeah.
And I could see it in his face.
Yeah.
A young kid. What that tells me, we as parents, because I made that mistake as well.
Mm.
We as parents, we push on our shame to our kids.
Yeah.
Because this weekend I had a function and I met a similar story.
Mm.
But this lady was telling us about her nephew who plays soccer.
Yeah.
And her nephew always tells her mom, I want my ndoma or my nguashes, sweet potatoes or arrows.
Mm.
Because he's 8 years old, because I had to question that. He says, I don't want bread because whenever I have bread, I get hungry very quickly.
Oh, wow.
An 8 year old.
Oh.
And I asked her, are you sure? She's like, he knows himself. And I was like, these young kids, I feel like they're coming out of the
womb
with some knowledge that I don't know. But it's us as parents recognizing we do pass on our insecurities
and the shame
to our children.
Tell me about what did you have to heal? There's something you talk about in terms of willpower.
Mm.
What did you have to heal to get to the point where willpower is something that you can tap into so that it aids your nutrition and your fitness goals?
What did I have to heal? I think for me was to make peace with the fact that I could figure a sustainable way to eat, to live, and not feel like I am adding on something different, something foreign. So I've always been sporty from a young age.
Okay.
I had to accept that's who I am.
Yeah.
Accept. Because I actually did try to run away from who God created me to be.
Yeah.
So literally, girl, I was a tomboy. Yeah. When I tell folks I was a tomboy, I mean, I used to climb our trees and because we were five girls, so we were locked in.
Yeah.
And we couldn't, can you imagine there's a birthday party across the street?
Yeah.
You can hear the kids playing and you've been told
like torture.
Listen, your girl would climb up the mango tree, jump over the fence and go, so that's who I was. Okay.
Yeah.
But at some point, there's a part of me that was running away from that part of me. So I had to accept this is truly who I am. That's number one. Number two, I had to accept that I can truly, because there's a part of me that thought, I don't think I can eat my traditional foods.
Mm.
It was so there. And it took me, I mean, I would eat and feel guilty.
Yeah.
Like, gosh. I mean, I love and I enjoy this food, but there was guilt associated to it. And it's after trying it over and over. Literally, like I would eat chapo every Friday. That was our thing. I would eat, and I love chapo.
Yeah.
Because chapo for me is the connection with family, going to my grandfather's house.
There's some like memories that come with
it. Memories attached to it. So when you tell me not to eat chapo, you're breaking that part of memory. So it was accepting. And it took me many years to eat this and to trust me. Like, oh my God, by the way, I've actually maintained. Not only have I maintained, I actually look amazing.
Yeah.
So it's to accept that. Lately, over the last 4 years, so I jumped into perimenopause.
Yeah.
And that has...
How is that?
Well, that... Oh, girl, let me... How is that, man? This is where you put like... You know, I don't even know. It's a drums like confusion.
Yeah.
It really, that's the way it showed up for me.
Yeah.
Complete, utter confusion because I was doing exactly what I've done for 2 decades.
Yeah.
That has sustained me for 2 decades. Ain't working.
Yeah.
It's been one of the worst. And I have slow. Oh, and no, then the worst part, then my girls, both of them left home.
Yeah.
They're in college.
So like empty nesting now.
That was, and I don't like that word either.
Okay.
I don't know why.
That doesn't land well.
Yeah. Not land well.
Because of the empty.
I don't know. Because I ain't empty.
Yeah.
It's heavy. It's a heavy word. And also because I've also quite struggled with that transition. That's been quite a struggle. So these last couple of years have really been, I have been all over. And I'm actually on a healing journey. I'm actually seeing somebody. I'm seeing a therapist to help me on this transition, because I've done everything I know to do, but it wasn't working. And that's why I always say, remember I said drop the ego?
Yeah.
Every time you're trying to do something with the template that you have and it's not working, always look for help.
Yeah.
Always ask for help.
Yeah.
Get someone who's ahead of you, because they will help you. Because now I'm beginning to see the shift. I'm not only feeling better on the inside, because listen, I went there because one of the things that happened, if I may share this, is they said, Roseanne, she told me, while my mind was okay with going, my body wasn't ready.
To go to therapy?
No. My kids leaving.
Oh, for your kids, the kids to leave. Okay.
Because I knew what needed to happen, but my body wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So we've been working on connecting that together.
Oh, wow.
But as we've been doing that, girl, a lot of stuff's coming up.
That's not even related.
I'm like, because literally, she...
That's how therapy is.
Oh, I hate it and I love it.
Yeah.
I hate it and I love it.
Yeah.
Because she then said, because after like 3 months, she was like, your therapy has been really good for you. In fact, that's what she told me.
Yeah.
You've done really well. But then she mentioned, but there's this issue. Don't know. And you know what I told her? I promise, I'm going to come.
Yeah,
because I truly love how I felt once I got to understand that I will come and we're going to figure all these things.
Yeah.
So I continue to show up.
Yeah.
And I say it's, so when you ask about healing,
it's
a journey. It's a process. And there's no shame in seeking help. And there's no shame because our generation, we were not ones who did therapy.
Yeah.
Can I give you a quick story? 2018.
I like you, Rosa. Okay. Yeah, so many stories. And I love that.
Oh, you did?
I love that.
Okay,
No. Yeah. Share them.
2018, I was coaching, and I tend to coach younger professionals.
Yeah.
And in 2018, back to back, they left, and something happened. I was like, this breed is, in fact, that's what I said in my head, this breed is different. Because as I looked back at the notes, the last one who left my office was a lawyer. But it's almost like my eyes finally opened, and I went back to all my notes, and I was like, these guys are so self-aware. And then I literally sat in my office like, was I this self-aware? I was like, and I was being honest, I'm like, even now I don't think I am. This is when the stuff I'm doing now is what a lot of young professionals have been doing, and I love that for us.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to give you any...
And self-awareness is the key to that image.
That is the key.
And so if a woman is watching this right now and wants to optimize her fitness and her nutrition in a way that serves her, where would you say she should start?
Perfect. So first assess, why do you want to do it? Why? You got to be clear on your why, because your why is what drives you and is what takes you forward. And let me just give you a quick tip. It's not about a look.
Yeah.
That's going to dissipate very quickly. You've got to go deeper than the look, because it really below the look, like I tell you why I do it. I do it because I want freedom.
Yeah.
What freedom? I think about myself and I give, this has helped me and has helped so many of my clients. And I want you to think about this. Always think about yourself at 100 years from now.
Yeah.
And then ask yourself, what would I have done in that moment? So at a crossroads, always project forward and then ask, what would you have done? So for me, be very clear on why. So for me, freedom. When I look at 100, I want to be walking up the stairs.
Yeah.
I want to be truly, I want to be able to be as flexible as possible.
And do the things you enjoy.
I want to cook. I want to do the things. I don't want to be dependent on anybody. So I'm doing this right now for the future. So be clear on your why. The second thing, once you're clear on your why, you don't need to start overnight and you don't need to overhaul everything at once. If let's say for you, you're sedentary, you don't walk, you're sitting in your car. When you go to your office, you're sitting all day. You can say, you know what, for me, walking is what I'm going to start with. And I'm telling you, don't despise these small steps, because they add up long term.
Yeah.
So you can start by walking and you can say, okay, instead of 7 days, can I do 3 days in a week? Stay consistent for a month for those 3 days. What you're doing as you're doing these 3 days is you're building confidence within yourself to tell yourself, because you do not know, this is a habit you haven't done before. You're building confidence to be like, by the way, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I did it.
I did it. I can add one more day.
Yeah.
The next month, add another day until you feel this feels like my sweet spot.
Yeah.
What the mistake a lot of people make is overhaul.
Yes.
Overnight. Let's change this.
So it comes at like 1 a.m.
You're going
to change. The next day, you've gone to like 10 kilometers walking from zero.
From zero to 10, and that's where you burn out.
Yeah.
And there's also a mind component to that. Our brain does not like change, drastic change. Mm-hmm. So you really must understand, even when you're failing, well, yes, and I love that you want to do the 10K.
Yeah.
You've got to start gradually.
Yeah.
So that, remember we said build the confidence?
Yeah.
But we're also creating neural pathways in the brain. Mm-hmm. And your brain is beginning to understand, okay, there's a new habit we're starting. And it's not... It's not scary to the brain.
Yeah.
Because the brain does not like scary things.
Yes.
It likes comfort.
Yeah.
And that is why this it puts everything in the subconscious.
Yeah.
So that we automate life.
Yeah.
That's why when you're trying to change so quickly, the brain's like, girl,
no,
we ain't doing
this. This is too much, too fast.
Too much, too quickly. Yeah. Let's go back to what we already know.
Yeah.
In fact, it will tell you, go back to sitting down. Can you see how you now negate even the very thing you want to do?
Yeah.
So start slow. By the way, even forget those 3 days a week, even if it's one day a week, it's going to make a difference. Because what you're doing, neural pathways in the brain, building confidence, it's not so scary. Confidence within yourself. Yeah, by the way, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And then I will caution you not to think, oh, this is not working. Because that's now what then stops a lot of us from doing the work. That's what stops us, because like, oh, what am I? I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then you've got to go back and ask yourself, how many years have you been sitting down here?
This is it. It's going to take you a very long time.
It will take you some time. So give yourself compassion and give yourself grace.
Yeah.
But keep on showing up.
Yeah.
So do not give up and keep on showing up. So that's what I'll tell you. So focus on small, sustainable steps that you can do. The second thing when it comes to nutrition. So that's on fitness.
Yeah.
Oh, if I may add on strength training, because I think for me, that's huge and it's important, especially for women.
Yeah.
A lot of women tend to be scared. They say, oh, I'm going to look like a man. But I'll tell you, we don't have enough testosterone in our bodies to look like men. So focus on strength training.
Yeah.
1 to 2 times a week, by the way. If you've come from nothing,
That's
you, it will, and you stay consistent, even 30 minutes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the, what's the last profile? The one who knows but doesn't do.
Don't care, Dolly.
Yeah. I mean, I care, but with strength training, it's like I know.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
how we do. What are you not doing? In fact, that's a question.
I don't even have an answer for you. I don't. And I'm enjoying, like, building a fitness routine. The things that I'm doing, I'm enjoying. So I don't have fears about what I look like. In fact, I find like toned out,
beautiful,
so attractive for women.
We can unpack that. But it's this whole aspect of, okay, so strength training.
Yes.
1 or 2 times a week.
Yeah.
That should suffice. If you're already doing 3 times a week, that's more than enough.
Yeah.
That's really more than enough. Like, I'm not saying we're going to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
But also, like, I see you picking up your, going to the garden. I see you walking. That's also really good. If you're climbing up hills, that's resistance because you're resisting gravity.
Okay,
yes. So that's good because you're working your glutes now.
Yeah.
We don't minimize that. Using the stairs, that's also really good. If you don't have access to strength training, can you do your body weight exercises? See, when I stand and I sit in a chair, that's a squat.
Yeah.
That's squats. So you can do those. Like, I like to do bathroom squats. So I always tell my people, when you go to the bathroom, do 10 squats every day.
Mm.
So if you go to the bathroom 3, 4, 5 times in a day, that's 50 squats every day. So it's easy. It's doable. Okay. So that's in terms of fitness. When it comes to nutrition, I want you to think about a garden or a farm. What do you see in a farm? Vegetables, legumes. Like, just think that way. Anything that comes in a farm, that should be what constitutes the majority of your plate.
Mm.
Animals, we have chicken, goat, cow, if you're an animal eater, plants.
Yeah.
So consider that's what should be in your plate. Anything that's in a factory, that's in a box, reduce that as much as possible.
Mm.
I think I find that to be the easiest way to explain that. If you eat that way most of the time, remember what we were talking about earlier. Your body just feels
it just so that good. And then it just wants now that.
And it will crave that. So many of my clients write to me, they're like, Roseanne, do you know even my daughter is craving a salad? She's like, I have never understood how bad. She's like, I never thought this would happen.
When I found myself craving skumba, I was just like, what is going on? It's like 4 p.m. Like, I used to be like, are there donuts in the house?
I love.
Like, some tea, some cake.
Yes.
And I was like, why am I just... I just want skooma now.
So it's very biological. So you have good bacteria, gut bacteria in your gut. right? Your gut microbiome is what houses your digestive tract from your mouth all the way to your
mouth. Yes.
In that whole system, we then have what's known as your gut bacteria.
Yeah.
So I want you to imagine a forest. A forest is all these different trees, or a garden with all these different plants that are there. So the bacteria, the good bacteria, feeds off of the what you're eating.
Yes.
If you're eating the right foods, you're going to multiply more of the good bacteria in your gut. And so I want you to see what's sprouting, the vegetables, the smoothies.
Yeah.
That's because the good bacteria has been fed.
Yeah.
Then we have the bad bacteria. The bad bacteria is what causes low energy. You're craving all the wrong foods. You're sleeping all the time. Your mood is low because you're eating the processed foods, the sugary foods, the foods that your body does not even know what to do with.
Yeah.
You're going to cultivate more of the wrong foods. So when you switch, literally do this even 3 days.
Yeah.
Eat more sukuma wiki, eat more beans, eat more homes. You will notice exactly what you have said.
Yeah.
You're going to crave more of the right foods.
Yeah. It was so wild. Because now the good bacteria is like, getting...
There's a lot more of them.
Yeah.
It populates more of the good bacteria.
Okay. So, and I love how you've broken down what should be on our plate. Mm. Because sometimes the language can be so technical that you're like, what do you mean?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So look at your plate and you should be seeing more of what's grown on a farm.
Naturally.
That's plain and simple. Okay.
Yeah.
So... any other tips for nutrition?
I will throw another tip.
Yeah.
Because we now have supermarkets or the stores, so it's almost like foods are available most of the time around the clock.
Yeah.
And farmers are becoming more smart about how to keep foods growing.
Yes.
Every
more
season.
Manipulated.
Okay, she said that.
More manipulated.
So think about seasonal foods.
Mm.
When foods are in season, it's sort of like we need to go with their nature's rhythm.
Yes.
What's in season? It's avocado season. Eat more of those. When it's not avocado season, add other foods, because the idea is to populate our gut with different types of food.
Mm.
And the more the variety, the better.
Mm.
So think about beans. We have nuts. We have skumas, terere, managus.
Yeah.
We have black beans, white beans.
Yeah.
We have rice. We have ugali, chapo. Like a variety of plants in your gut, and do that on a regular basis.
Mm.
I'm telling you, your body will thank you. You will feel better. Your energy is going to be good. You're just going to be, you're going to get back to yourself. You really will.
Yes.
So go back to nature. And if you're having a hard time doing that, then you might want to ask yourself, really, what is going on?
Yeah.
So there's the decolonizing, there's the shame, there's the poverty.
Yes.
Start working on that, changing
something
your language.
Inside. Yeah.
Because at the core of you, that's what's going to be produced.
Mm.
Whatever the core of you is and whatever your beliefs are, that's what's going to drive your behavior. That's going to drive your habits.
Yeah.
So we got to get to the core of you.
And in fact, when we close the episode, I want you to give, at the talk where I met you, you broke it down so well. Yeah.
Okay.
You had these letters.
Yes.
That's what I want you to leave all our manless women with.
Perfect.
But right before we get there, you talk a lot about coaching, and now I'm intrigued. When someone comes to see you for coaching, what will they go through? Because it feels so extensive.
It does. It is, because it is extensive.
It is,
and the way we've broken it down is we've broken down to the nutrition component. So that's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So we focus on nutrition and we touch on a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We do touch on mindset
and
we help the ladies begin to think through, reframe. In fact, when I'm coaching them within those, it's actually 7 weeks. I call it 6 weeks, but truly it's 7 weeks. We always give them a bonus week. So in those 7 weeks, even as I'm coaching them, what they realize when they come on the coaching calls, a lot of what we're coaching is mindset. It's not the nutrition.
Yeah.
Once they understand the food, once they begin to let go of what it is that they were holding on to, that's when now they're able to apply, because there was something that was holding them back.
Mm.
So this in that program, it's called Hey Sugar. So the first week we focus on mindset, then it's heavily nutrition.
Yeah.
Then from there, we now focus on mindset. It's called Hey Sugar Life Mindset, HSLM. In this life mindset is now where you can either sign up for a whole year, 6 months or 3 months, because now this is when we go deep.
We're going in.
We go deep.
Yeah.
And the ladies, it's such a beautiful group of women because they share their stories.
Mm.
And honestly, because we record everything, some will be like, let's not record this.
Yeah.
Sure. Not going to record it.
Yeah.
And they will just open their hearts out and we're going to help them. just deconstruct what it is that they're going through.
Yeah.
Because usually it would be like, she'd be like, last week I went to work and I just noticed the whole week at around 4 p.m. I was just eating, let's say, crisps, mm-hmm. or I was just eating cookies, or I ordered from the tea lady, yeah. something I haven't done in a while. And so the question, okay, so what's going on? She's like, no, it's just busy at work. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Is it usually this busy at work? Usually, yes.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, then you just hear someone pause. Yeah, my husband and I.
Mm.
And so now we're going to delve into that. What's going on?
Yeah.
And what you find is she's not speaking her truth.
Yeah.
She's not speaking up.
Yeah.
So she will have homework. Girl, you got to go and address 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4 issues. Uh-huh. Go talk them out. She'll come back. She'll be like, oh, you will not.
Yeah.
It's like a whole new human being.
Yeah.
So that takes a minute because, again, what the inner work did not happen overnight.
Yeah.
Some of that work started from childhood. The damage,
mm-hmm.
the stories they've told themselves.
The words they've been told.
And how they chose to interpret those words.
Yeah.
These things hurt a lot of us and hurt a lot of women.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff that we do inside the program.
That is so wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for the work that you're doing with women.
Oh.
I know someone who is actually, you're coaching someone I know.
And
yes, and they say you've done incredible.
Oh my goodness.
Work with them.
Tell me who they
yes,
are.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
And then in closing, I want you to leave what you said when I first met you, because mm-hmm. I couldn't get my phone or pen quick yeah. enough to write it.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was such an incredible way for
yes.
women to start seeing their habits and mindset and belief as linked.
As linked.
Yes.
And we'll actually tie it into, it's actually tied so beautifully
yeah.
into what we're talking about. Because the first thing I want us to do is when you find you do not have capacity to be able to function, to do the things you know you need to do, whether it's at work, whether it's at home with the kids, whether it's at with your husband, whether it's with your in-laws. When you find something you used to do very easily, but now there's something in you that is just, you're not able to get out of bed.
Yeah.
You're not you're not functional.
Yeah.
The first thing you want to do is identify what that issue is.
Mm.
Identify, and that's the C, which is you got to look at the circumstance. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the C, circumstance.
Yeah.
What is a circumstance? A circumstance is something that you and I will look at. For instance, we're going to look at this backdrop and we'll
yeah.
say it's yellow
yeah.
and it's green
yeah.
and yellow. And there's a, this is brown or whatever.
Yeah, brown.
Let's
yeah.
say it's brown. Can we all agree that that's a color? I mean, there may be, you know, that there's different colors.
Like on the shade.
On the shade of what, be what. But let's just go.
It's yellow.
It's yellow. We're all going to agree
yeah.
it's yellow. But now, the next thing we're going to do is, what do we think about those colors? Next one is tea. I might look at it and say, okay, this is your studio. So let me, because
yeah.
you
yeah.
love it. That's why
yeah.
it's here. So let me take the opposite, whatever. What do you think about this backdrop?
I think yellow, like what it makes me feel, happy and alive.
It's how about bright. The green?
The green is like depth, soul. Yes.
Oh, no, me when I look at it, for me, it's creams too much.
Mm.
The green, I would have done lighter green.
Mm.
Okay. So we look at a circumstance, but both of us are going to interpret it very differently.
Definitely.
That's what we think about it. So that's your thought.
Mm.
Based on that thought, by the way, you actually jumped into the next one, which is an F. It's your feeling. What does it make you feel?
Mm.
Because out of your interpretation of the circumstance, it will cause you to feel something.
So you see yellow and you feel happy.
I yeah. see this and now.
It's too much.
It's too
yeah.
for me. Same thing.
Same circumstance. Yeah.
But our thought has been different. Our feeling about it is obviously going to be different.
Yeah.
And based out of that, that's how we're going to make actions.
Mm.
That's the A. Your actions. So for me, you'll not find me in this room. I'm supposed to be podcasting. I'm supposed to be recording. Ugh, but when people hear, my energy is not as high. My energy is not as low.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it. Yeah. But you.
Ooh, let's go.
It's sunny, whatever.
Yeah.
So your actions. And out of those actions, the last one is your H. It's your habits.
Mm.
That's now how you create your habits based off of your thoughts and out of the way you interpreted the circumstance.
Yeah.
So you need to notice that linkage.
Yeah.
Because then what you want to do is, if you're not able to function, a lot of what we do is we look at a circumstance and I help you look at it differently.
Mm.
And are you willing? First, the question is,
are you willing
to look at it different? Because some people want to just hold on.
Yeah.
And that's your ego
yes.
that's really holding on. But if you're willing to look at it differently, in a way that feels absolutely true to you.
Yeah.
You will feel different. You will behave different. And you're going to have a completely different lifestyle.
Yeah.
So that's where the mindset comes in. It's where we're choosing to change the way we view things so that we can create a new feeling,
yeah.
create new habits, create new actions, which will then
create new habits
that you can now sustain long term.
I just thought that is such an incredible way to break down so much.
Mm.
And even to understand why maybe a habit you're trying to adopt is like, or even to start.
Or to adopt or to start. Yes, yes, yes.
You're like, why is it so hard?
Yes.
It's like, okay, let me go back.
Go back.
Right?
Go back.
What's the circumstance?
Yes.
What are my thoughts?
Yes.
And then go down.
Yes.
Right?
And if I may throw this quickly, your brain understands the language of thoughts. Your body understands the language of feelings.
Mm.
And we will always act from our feelings, always. So when we're changing this, we're really looking to change the way we feel about something.
Yes. Roseanne, thank you so much, not only for coming, but also for the work that you do.
Oh,
it's incredible.
And
I always find it powerful when someone takes their own lived experience and uses it to like bless others.
Oh.
That's incredible work, right?
Thank you so much, honestly.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really did. If you check out the description, we have resources and links for you to be able to contact Roseanne and benefit from the incredible work that she does. Make sure you like this episode, share it with all the manaless and almost manaless women in your life, and subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next episode.